Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello, it's me, Richard Herring. How are you doing? Good, I'm all right as well. Look, I won't hold you up too much. I know you're desperate to hear me talking to someone on the podcast, not just me talking to you. In a way, you should be glad I'm talking to you. That's better, isn't it, than me talking to Rebecca Front? I'm actually talking to you personally, us one-to-one. How are you? Oh, really? That's good. Yeah, I'm all right as well. Yeah, I wasn't interested. I wasn't interested in you or your stupid life. If you like my show, why not go to gofasterstrike.com? You can buy some DVDs to pay me back for all the hard work we've put into these. It'd be good if they're my DVDs. You can buy Stuart Lee DVDs or lots of other people's DVDs there, but I won't get any of that money. But Go Faster Strike will, so do support them. Or you can buy a badge at gofasterstrike.com/badges, either monthly or just a one-off if you just want to chuck a quid or two our way. Anyway, without further ado, let's do it, shall we? Let's do a podcast. This isn't a podcast, me just talking, is it? No. Let's do me talking properly in front of an audience. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. You're much better than last week's audience. Will you please welcome a man who was eating a cornetto that he is technically paid for? Please welcome Richard Herring! Thank you very much. Hello. Love to see you all. Thank you for coming. It's lovely to see you all. Welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. Or as a few cool kids have started calling it Leicester. There's quite a lot of them in tonight. And so I'm very excited. I was away on tour last week. It's exciting. As you know, my wife and my pregnant wife is at home. It's that kind of week. So as I was away, I was thinking, I've got special things waiting at home for me, because what I knew is that my new iPhone 6 had arrived at home just after I'd left, and there it is. So I was very excited, and I thought, I might die before I got to see the actually hold it. That was the terrible fear I had. So very nice. And the amazing thing is, I predicted the iPhone 6 years ago. If you watch Christ on a Bike DVD, there were only iPhone 4s there, and I said, one day there'll be an iPhone 6, and people, it looks at me like I was mad, but there it is. I'm like Sally Morgan. So there will never be an iPhone 7, though, I guarantee that. I'm like Nostradamus on this stuff, I'm telling you, you will find out. So it's very exciting to have an overpriced phone, that at least this one doesn't, the battery doesn't tick down in front of your face yet. Literally, the other one I had, I could see it just going down. It would last 30 minutes if I was lucky. So we'll just meet some of our audience. Oh, we've seen all these guys before. Are you the guy that I've said you haven't been here before, but you have been here before for the last two times? Yeah. And what was your name again? I should know. James, you've been here so often. What fun stuff have you been up to this week, James? What have you done this week that has been exciting for you? What amazing things have happened to you this week? You went on the internet for a bit. When you say for a bit, do you mean like for a bit or just for a while? For a bit, okay. Yeah, it's fair. It's good. It's good for that. What do you do again? It's IT or something. It's so rude of me. I should know what you do. You're not a nuclear physicist because that's this guy. Do you know each other? Oh, is it your dad? You've had sex with a lady. That's incredible. I should come to you because he's turned out pretty well. To be honest, I thought it was your boyfriend. I don't want to stereotype nuclear physicists, but I think they're all predatory homosexual old men. That's what I thought. So you've turned that around, and that is a wonderful. Have you got any advice for me as a father? What I should do to make a son turn out as well as this? Get lots of sleep while I can. That's good. Am I allowed to sleep when they're a child and just leave my wife to do it? Is that what you did? Yeah, good. That's good to know. Have you not gone into the nuclear physicist business? No. Does that disappoint you? Because if my child is not a comedian, I'm going to leave it on a hillside and disown it. That's the way I look at it. There's no money in nuclear physics. But there's bombs, though. That's the thing. There is bombs. What do you do? You're in a band? You should be in a band. You're good looking. He's very good looking. It's kind of, when I say that to you, it's really a massive insult to say he's very good looking. So I'm not sure it is your child. Tell me what you do. I've got to get Rebecca on. Unemployed. You're unemployed. Yeah. Good luck finding. Have you thought about nuclear physics? Nuclear physics. It's lovely to have you back. Thank you for coming along. And we will... I thought, you know, I tried to be nice to the audience this week, but I still came out... I'm a horrible person, I've realised. So I would just like to apologise to that man in Manchester with the whole Cornetto thing. But, you know, maybe just man your till properly. That's all I'm saying. So that was the lesson for you. What I didn't tell Sarah Millican is that I also, every time I go to a service station, I steal one pick and mix from every pick and mix that I go past. Because they're really expensive. I reckon over the course of a tour, I could steal about £60 worth of stuff just from one suite at a time. But I would quite like to see what the authorities would do if I was caught stealing one suite. Whether they would... I'm just... You know, if I get caught, I'm delighted. If I don't get caught, free suites. That's the way I look at it. So, you know, people are very disappointed in me. Kind of old Richard Madeley feeling going on there. So, Just a disappointment. People are generally disappointed in him. That is all I was implying. There's another edit for you, Ben. So, I didn't say a thing. Will you please welcome a woman who is best known for being Amanda Snell in the fantastic ITV show You Can Choose Your Friends. That is what everyone remembers. And Vicky Jackson in Time, Gentlemen, Please. She was in London, Nimrod's Ixfrickin World and Fist of Fun. She's also the host of Rule of Three, a quiz show that I wrote for that never made it to series. And it was in Shush, a library sitcom that I script edited that never made it to series. All of those things, all of those famous things have a connection with me. Will you please welcome Rebecca Front, ladies and gentlemen? Rebecca Front. It's Rebecca Front from Everything. She is from Everything. Come in, sit down. How are you doing?
Do you know, I had actually forgotten that you were connected with some of those things.
I was exactly. Awful? And that's they're all the nice. Things, they're the only things that you've done that have not won awards.
No,
that's true.
Not true.
It is true.
Not true at all.
There's a
Time
strong
Gentlemen
connection.
Please went on and on and on forever.
It did, but no one liked it. But it was good. But, you know, it paid for my house.
I've told you that story about, because that was one of the only shows where I had a catchphrase.
Yes.
I had a few in that. But my character came on, I had to go, hello, like that. Hilarious.
You don't need to. And, you can tell from that reaction how many people remember that.
And then sometime after, well, I suppose when the second series was going out, my mother-in-law at the time was quite ill. And already a downer in the room. And I took her to a hospital appointment because I'm fundamentally a very, very nice person. And I took her to this hospital appointment. We're sitting there and she was kind of slightly confused and distressed because she was at this hospital appointment. And all of a sudden this porter came barreling down the corridor towards her and went, "Hello!" And she leapt out of her seat, just went, "Why did he do that? Why did he do that? Why is that man shouting?" I just know it's going, "It's just, I'm in this show on the telly that you've never seen, and amazingly somebody has." And
it's very
the
occasional.
One time I got recognised.
I've been recognised because I played the postman in that series, in the first series, about four times, and I've occasionally been recognised as just the postman. That's all they know that I've done. You're the postman. You're Mike, the postman. Whatever happened? Did you not get any other work after that? No, that was all I ever did.
Did you not try telling them you were actually a postman?
He was, yeah, should have done.
In real life.
He would, should have been. There were no fat postmen, apparently, so he should have known.
But you're very slim, Richard.
I am now, but I wasn't when that man recognised me. So there we go. And you were in... You Can Choose Your... Who remembers You Can Choose Your Friends?
It was good, though. It was really good. No, that was a really good programme.
No, well, obviously not. That was one. That's the last thing I had on 2007, that was.
That's quite a long time.
It's terrible. That was the last. That's the last time I was on TV. So, have you been
I
in
I ruined it for you. Maybe that's what happened.
Could
there.
Be.
If I hadn't been in that, I would have got a series and gone run.
Could be that.
That's probably what it was. Me, Julia McKenzie, and Claire Skinner.
Yeah,
ruined it. For
it did.
Me,
it's all those talented people.
Because Claire Skinner's done nothing since. Nothing. Has she? Nothing. Like,
I remember when we were. She played my sister in that, and we were in the garden just going to scene together. She said, "Oh, I'm doing a lot of things with comedians at the moment because there's and half a double act. Because I'm doing this other show about a family that with Hugh Dennis. Don't know what's going to happen with that. I wonder which of these two things will go on to be a massive success." Well, there's no way of knowing, is there? That's what she said to me. It was all right. It was all right. Well, I'm just going to cry now. I'm going to die.
No, save that for later.
But I first saw you in the mid-1980s in the Bobo Girls.
I think
I saw you at the Oxford Playhouse. You came back and did like one gig at a charity thing.
Is that just your way of mentioning that I'm a bit older than you?
No, you're slightly
you
older.
You came back, you know.
Slightly older, but only slightly older.
Only very slightly. Yes, indeed, Bobo Girls, musical double act.
It's about the Bobo Girls getting back together?
I'm seeing her for lunch tomorrow. Are you? The other Bobo Girls. No, don't think that's going to happen.
It was like a musical...
Yeah, we did sketches and we did songs, and I wrote all the songs. My brother wrote all the sketches. And then my friend Sean Ed William and I did the songs and the sketches. And, we got a couple of radio series. I think we touted for telly, but we didn't really get anywhere. And then Sean Ed had become a radio producer by the time we did the second series and actually had already, I think, decided that that was sort of the way she wanted to go. She wanted to go into production. And the second series we did on radio was produced by Armando Iannannucci.
Oh, yes.
And so around the time Sean Ed was deciding she wanted to go into production... Armando said, "I'm doing a couple of shows and do you want to come and..." I remember him saying, "Do you ever do anything without Sean Ed?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, you know, obviously." And then he said, "And do you ever do anything which doesn't involve singing?" So I said, "Yeah, quite a lot, actually. I mean, that's that sort of mainly what I do." So he got me in, first of all, to the Mary Whitehouse Experience.
Of course.
And I did a couple of sketches in that. And then he got me into On the Hour.
On the Hour, which I wrote for and did win awards. So your theory goes down the toilet. but that was we had Steve Coogan on last week.
I know. How was he?
He was very. He's matured into a fine young man. If you ignore all the stuff that he does,
we're not. Nobody's listening to this. I can say something privately.
He's
got very good looking. Yeah, I mean, he was always kind of, you know, he's very attractive.
There was a ruggedness to him.
Though
he looked a bit like a teacher
aged
last
really
week.
Really well. Well, maybe that's my.
He
type.
Had his hair cut a bit weird. That was by his own admission. So it was. That was. Did you realise at the time when that group of people were brought together by Armando that it was going to turn, you know, explode into this phenomenon of its generation?
No. I mean, I think I was interested in what you were saying earlier about, because I'm a terrible pessimist, so I never think good of anything. I always think everything's going to turn out disastrously. So no, I certainly didn't think it was going to be a massive hit. And of course, it wasn't a massive hit in the sense that. It was, I mean, it's stayed the test of time, lasted the court. I don't know what the phrase is, but anyway, it holds up.
Yeah.
But it didn't feel like it was a massive hit. It's not like we were being kind of, you know, paparazzied and sort of people were kind of coming up to us in the streets and going, I just want to say I love your show, or anything like that. So it was a very slow burn, and it had very small viewing figures, even on telly, in listening figures on radio. And, so it didn't feel like a massive thing, but it did feel like a very, very, very good thing. I did know that this was what I wanted to do, that kind of comedy.
What was it like working with Patrick Marber?
Well, I love Patrick. I was in the Oxford Review with Patrick. Yeah.
But the way you phrase that, though, well, I love Patrick Marber. I love
That's
Patrick
because
Marber.
Of you and Stu, because I spent so much time at the beginning of my career working with you and Stu, who always seemed, well, dare I say, to have a slight problem. I never fully understood it, to be
honest. I think it was made partly in fun.
Yeah, well, I hope it was.
But
no, I love Patrick, and I did the Oxford Review with him. So I spent a lot of time with him. And it was Patrick, really, when I started doing things like On the Hour, he was the only one I knew. I didn't know Armando or anybody else at all. So Patrick was my kind of buddy. Mm-hmm. I knew Dave Schneider a little bit. So there.
Okay.
That's hoist you, the petard.
It's okay.
Isn't it?
And you are afraid of going in lifts. It's weird. What's that about?
Yes.
Have you? But you've been in a lift quite recently. Have you got? Have you managed to go back in? You've got claustrophobia.
Yeah.
I mean, it's quite serious, really.
Bad claustrophobia. I went in one yesterday. I'm trying to do them all the time. Not all the time, but quite a lot of
Only when you need to go upstairs. That's my advice.
No, that's the thing. With therapy, I'm having cognitive therapy, which is supposed to help with phobias. No, it's not only when you need to go upstairs. It's ridiculous. You just do them. You just have to, every time you see a lift, you have to go, oh, better get in that then. So,
have you seen the film Sliding Doors? Because that is very like...
Yeah, it's
you have to be careful doing that because you might change your life completely.
Well, but I might come out not a claustrophobic.
That's true.
And that would be quite
But that's
good.
Because you made that part of the, when you in the thick of it, the part of your character in the thick of it was she had to go upstairs everywhere, partly because you have to go upstairs everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, Armando just is very good at sort of plundering bits like that from people's lives. And he didn't know, actually, that I was claustrophobic. I assumed he did because his office was on the fifth floor, and I would always arrive going. I think he just thought I was asthmatic, but I just assumed he knew I was claustrophobic. And I'm sure I'd left him at the doors of lifts and things and said, I'll meet you upstairs. I don't know what he thought, but anyway, he didn't know. So when he was just saying, you know, we film a lot of these things walking down corridors, and there's a lot of motion, a lot of movement going on, and sometimes in and out of lifts. And I just went, whoa, just going to stop you there. And then he beetled off to the writer's room and said, right, make her a claustrophobic. It'd be hilarious. But it was, because, I mean, it was actually.
If you're playing a character who isn't claustrophobic, are you able to be non-claustrophobic?
Well, theoretically, it would work like that, but I'm not that good an actress. But I think in theory, I should be so much in character that if my character isn't claustrophobic. That is, in fact, one of the things that we've talked about in therapeutic, I'm terrible, I'm not telling you everything about my cognitive therapy, but we have talked about that sort of thing.
This is kind of therapy.
I'm being paid. Fantastic.
It's nice.
But that notion of could I get in a lift and pretend to be not scared? But it turns out I'm not. I'm a bit shit. I don't know. No, I can't.
And do you know, does it come from, I was reading, I haven't read you've written a book about...
you haven't read my book.
I haven't read it. I realised today, I probably should have read that. Yeah. But what I did instead...
It might have been nice, Richard.
I read a couple of reviews of it, and I reckon I picked up enough to bluff my way through. Right. Wasn't it something to do with Durham Cathedral? Was that what got you into claustrophobia?
Yeah, it was. It was the spiral tower of Durham Cathedral on a very hot, very crowded day. I'm not going to tell you any more than that because you've got to buy the book.
Buy the books, of course.
It's coming out in paperback soon. You can buy it then. It'll be much cheaper in paperback.
I could probably get a free copy.
Well, you could. I've got a whole box of them at home, but I'm not giving you one now because you've made no effort whatsoever.
What I often do is when I'm in shops, I just steal things or just throw the money. I might just throw the money vaguely at someone I think might be in charge of the shop.
But don't you only steal tiny amounts of things?
I do, yeah. I might just steal a page at a time.
You're a sort of homeopathic thief.
Yeah.
Just a tiny amounts of stuff. You could just have the dust jacket of my book. You could nick that
would
from
be
a
good.
Shop from Waterston somewhere.
That's quite, if things are so rooted in, because there's a couple of things, they've got a few little phobias. There was a Final Destination style fear that everyone was going to die in your family, which because I'm obsessed with death.
Yeah, no, I've got big problems with death. Yes, I was school phobic for, I am a bit of a nut. I mean, it must be said, I am a bit That's not a phrase that we use in the mental health community.
If you are one, you're allowed to use that phrase.
I'm allowed to say it about myself. Yeah. I'm very sympathetic towards everybody else's problems. But yeah, I school phobia for a bit, stopped going to school for a term, then started again. Claustrophobia, I'm a terrible hypochondriac. I mean, really, awful.
Does that mean you're not very good at being a hypochondriac?
It means I'm really, really, really good at it.
You can't count that as a phobia. No. So you're a very sensitive child, or just because you're obviously very clever. You went to Oxford University, and you have to be very clever to go there.
Yes, indeed you do. Although they were letting anybody in the year I went, as we've established a couple of years before you went. I don't know. Yeah, I suppose I was a sensitive child, and I come from quite a neurotic family. I mean, they're lovely, as you'll know when you read my book.
Yes.
They're fabulous, my family, and we're very, very, very close. You've probably met them at some point, because my family come to all sorts of things, and they're very supportive. And they're lovely, but we are all a bit, mad.
But that's good. But, on actor terms, you seem the most sane actor I've ever met. So,
I'm really good at seeming sane.
Yeah.
Really good. People often say that to me. Like, God, how are you so calm? You're so relaxed. I'm absolutely not. I'm absolutely not. I'm a bundle of nerves and anxiety. But I have one killer trait which really works in my favour, which is I've got a low voice. And if you've got a low voice, it's just I just have a low voice, but people think you're calm. It's a really bizarre thing that people just think you're very chilled. I'm not. I'm a crazed person with a low voice.
Yeah. I'm just not sure. I've met a lot of actors, and you seem like a regular person. So that's the highest compliment I can pay you as an actor.
being much nicer to me than you are. You told Sarah that she wasn't very intelligent because she believed in ghosts.
I know. I said she would believe in ghosts because she wasn't very intelligent.
Right. Yes.
It's much ruder than you. You don't believe in ghosts, do you, Rebecca?
I would really like to. I don't, to be honest. But I love ghost stories. I love hearing people talking about ghosts. And I'd love to. I love the idea of it.
So do I, but that's why I asked that question. And also, with me and Sarah, we deliberately try and... She takes it as a compliment because she knows that I'm doing it so that she can come back at me with something worse.
She was crying backstage.
She was crying backstage, but that was...
She was really genuinely upset. Yeah,
I take that as a victory. So,
She genuinely doesn't like you. She told me. But anyway, you believe what you want to believe.
That's right. As long as it leads to good entertainment. I was...
No, that's the thing. It wasn't even entertaining.
Just slightly embarrassing. And people were applauding
me. It was just awkward. It was, wasn't it? It was just unpleasant.
It's the comedy of awkwardness.
What's that all about? You get people in, you're just horrible.
I know.
It's just nasty.
I don't know.
Stop it.
I don't know what's wrong with
me. Can I just say one thing? Don't do that with your child.
Okay.
Really. It's not a good idea.
Well, you can give me advice.
We
wrote into Time Gentlemen, Please, your second child.
You
became pregnant. It was such a long series. I'm going to say you became pregnant during the filming of it. It wasn't like that. I think you became pregnant at home.
It was a weekend.
Yeah. It was such a long record that you started off not being pregnant, became pregnant, and were pregnant enough during the series that we had to put it into the script.
Indeed.
So Miss Jackson had a baby with...
Who was the
It was Barry, Uncle Barry, who was my absolute favourite character in Time. If you haven't seen Time, Gentlemen, Please.
It's really it's good,
really
actually.
Really amazingly good. Uncle Barry was the pub landlord's elderly uncle, who probably was his father as well, but we didn't, that was the implication. And he had kind of jet black hair, but every week something would get poured on his head and it would all be dye and it would all come down his face. It was absolutely...
But it was really funny.
It was funny. It was very funny. But then you had a little baby who had jet black hair.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for that baby.
That's right.
We did paint a baby's head black so that it could...
You were going to use my baby. There was some discussion about when
And did you
the
say
baby
no?
was born. I seem to remember we did discuss it, and I think I quite liked the idea, and then I thought, actually, that's going to be a pain in the arse, isn't it?
Cause and also
I'm
that...
I'm going to have to change nappies as well as remembering lines, that's and
true.
That's going to be...
And that dye might...
And that dye,
might
yeah.
give them brain damage of some kind, so yeah. But probably we could find out that child's probably... Their actual baby we use will be, 12 years old now. could get
indeed.
On as a
13 in fact.
As a guest. Mm. Yeah, because of course it's the same age as your baby, so that's how you were able to do that. I thought, wow, she's good at maths. Just went, how was my daughter? Oh yeah, it's that age. It was a wonderful series. No one saw that. No one saw you can choose your friends was up against an episode of Big Brother where someone used an offensive racial epithet, and that's why. So it? we got quite a lot of viewers up to the point where Big Brother started, and then for the last half an hour, everyone stopped watching. That's my excuse for the numbers dropping.
It was good though. You can choose friends. It was beautifully written. I mean, you can't say that because you wrote it, but it was beautifully written. It was very good. I'm your biggest fan, Rich.
I know you are. You've
got somebody on this stage who actually likes you and admires you. Enjoy it.
It's enough for me that you liked it, Rebecca. You're the only person who did. So Lauren Bacall stole your husband's chip.
Is the chapter of the book. Is one of the chapters in the book that you have failed to buy. Yes, my book Curious, available in all good bookshops. Yes.
Can you get it on Kindle?
Yeah.
Yeah, I should really have done that, shouldn't I? That was easy.
You really made no effort whatsoever. There's an audio book with me reading it.
There?
You could have done that as well. It's cheaper than the hardback, but no. Nothing. Nothing. After all I've done for you.
I'll buy 100 copies on the way out. And you're not. What happened with Lauren Bacall, though? I'll read the book. That's not. You can't do that with all my questions, though. Read the book.
Lauren Bacall, that's. We use that as a chapter. I say we, it makes it sound like I didn't write it, but my editor was quite keen to use it as a chapter title, even though that is basically the story. That's it, really. I took my husband out for dinner for his birthday. And
to Lauren Bacall's house.
No, but a posh restaurant. Yeah. And this woman sort of walked past and took one of the chips off his plate.
That's
very rude. And so, you know, he kind of did that. You know, who did that? And it was Lauren Bacall. I mean, what are the chances of that happening?
She can do that whenever she wants.
Yeah, she
could. She's like me in Pick and Mix.
That was, yeah.
So well, I think if anyone sees me, I will be sent to prison. Would that be good? Do you think that would be good for my career?
Stealing Pick and Mix.
Well, if I'm caught and then there's, you know, I wouldn't make the news, would it? No one would get a man who was once on TV in 2007, stole a... What I steal is the ones, they're like Coca-Cola bottles, but they're like... flavoured like bubble gum. Do you know those ones? No, they're good. They're not worth buying, but they are worth stealing.
I think you'd need to steal something more interesting than Pick and Mix if it's going to be good for your career.
I see myself as a Robin Hood figure, though, because I think...
Do you give them to the poor?
Not exactly. But compared to the Pick and Mix magnates, who make all the profit from Pick and Mix... I felt a bit guilty about it, so this tour I did buy one small bag of Pick and Mix to make up for the 6 Pick and Mix that I had stolen on my various journeys. It cost £1.59 for 100 grams of Pick and Mix.
Is that quite a lot then?
That is a lot. So it's like about 10p a sweet, probably no, 20p a sweet.
That does sound like a lot.
So I see me stealing Pick and Mix as a satirical... Because money is meaningless. It's an abstract concept.
Yeah.
I know you'll understand this.
Mm. No, I didn't understand it, but I do remember you saying it.
And so, you know, I'm satirising the whole idea of money by not using it properly.
You're the Banksy of Pick and Mix, really.
Yeah. And also you get free Pick and Mix at the end.
But it is a criminal offence.
Win-win. So I'm a criminal, so there's like an edginess to me that gives me the sexiness that I've lost because I've become 10 years older than I used to be. Young women look at me and go, yeah, that's the guy who steals
Pick and Mix. Guy. And then they go, yeah, but he's stealing that cola bottle that tastes like bubblegum. That's really not sexy at all. If he was a licorice thief, that would be a whole other thing.
If you had to choose between dating... I'm sorry that your son, 15-year-old son, is in the audience. If you had to choose between... I can't have no control over the character of Richard Herring. If you had to choose between... I feel embarrassed because I do genuinely... I see you, like, and you are, as we've established, very slightly older than me, and I do see you as an older sister figure. And that when you were online on Nimrod, I was very intimidated by you because you're like a proper actress and proper star. Yeah. And then loads of comedy fans would come up to me and say, oh, what's it like working with Rebecca Front? She's so sexy. I go, do not talk about Rebecca Front like that. That is,
why did you do that?
She is not sexy.
What, you
she
were
She is above sexiness.
So young men were coming up to you and saying, Rebecca Brighton is sexy, and you were saying, don't talk to
don't
her.
Don't you dare
and
talk.
Don't say that.
Don't talk to
Thank
her.
Thank you.
That's
very
all right.
Much.
I was protecting
Richard Herring.
I see you very much, as I said backstage, like the Virgin Mary. In a way, I thought I'd get the Virgin Mary and a whore on the shows this week. I thought I would do that, and then I couldn't find... Jordan said she wouldn't come on. That is... So I don't like having to ask... This is embarrassing for me to even have to ask you anything like this, because I think you are above this and unsullied. It's much more offensive than calling you a whore. If you... That man is furiously angry. Or just very excited by the idea... The virgin whore dichotomy that all men have to... Women are allowed to be other things in between those two. Or both. If you had to choose between dating a man who was a 6-foot-tall penis, with a face, though, obviously, it's not just going to be a penis.
There's nothing weird about it.
So it's on the face. It's based on that. Those two Tory MPs, the one who sent the picture of his cock to that woman, I thought he looked quite like a penis. And then I saw Mark Reckless, who looks exactly like a penis. He doesn't have a neck. But he has kind of a bald head. So it's like a penis. Might have put like a little bit of a wig on to make it look like it's a head. And just to kind of maybe wear a hat to cover up the little, you know, the
meatus. Mark Reckless, or are we now talking about
your penis?
Well,
the penis. They're the same, one and the same.
Okay.
I'm giving you my inspiration for this question. Because some people, like Sarah, thought I was being weird for asking this question.
Yeah, I know. I thought that was unfair.
Yeah. It's a question I'm sure you get asked all the time.
I do.
So... That's the man. He's a 6-foot-tall man, but he is resembles exactly a penis.
Oh, he resembles one. He's not one.
Well, because he is one. He resembles a penis.
There is a difference between a man who resembles a penis, which is, you know, not impossible.
This is a philosophical discussion, because I don't know whether if he was a penis, that implies that he used to be attached to some gigantic mammal of some kind. And has become detached and is now a separate penis.
It does imply that.
But I imagine him as never having been attached to another animal. So he's a penis.
Okay.
So I would imagine it's like the elephant. Penis. It's like the elephant man. But so it's a man, but he's been born and he's been born as a penis. And his parents have gone, ooh, giving him away to a fair. And Anthony Hopkins has come in and said, oh, look, I'll try and give you a life. And then the penis... decides to commit suicide by lying on his back.
Okay, I've got that one.
Okay. Or, spoiler alert on the plot of The Elephant Man there. And the life of The Elephant Man, let's face it. It wasn't just a film, it was a real John Merrick, a real person. Or a man who has, instead of a penis, has a tiny man who may one day become detached and go and live in a Lilliput kind of land where he is the 6-foot-tall penis. No, that's not part of it. It's a man. It's a man who is a penis. It's like a regular man, but he's attached to another man, and you have to date either the man who had the man instead of a penis, or... I can't believe this is a complicated question.
Lost the will to live. Okay. I mean, I'm going for the man with the other man, because that way you get two men, I suppose. Yeah. That would be all right, because then if you get bored with one, you've still got the other one that you can talk to.
Yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah.
But, I mean, really, Rich. What? Really.
It's a good question.
As your older sister, can I just say this? You are a clever man. You went to Oxford.
It took a long time to think of
yourself.
That question.
Look at what you've become.
It's very hard to come up. Very hard.
Think of the child that is in your wife's womb right now.
You've paid to come and see me. You like this so much. These people come every week. Even though I ask that to everyone, at least I change them around a bit.
These people come every week because they're hoping one day you might change. They're waiting for redemption, and it's not going to happen.
It could be the case. All right, we'll leave that. I'll ask you proper actor questions. I sense... My questions are not welcome here. You're in Lewis. I don't watch this programme.
Well, you're too busy reading my book.
But you're on everything. I can't watch. I've watched Grandma's House. That's really good. I've watched The Thick of It. That's really good. I've watched some of Nighty Night. It was good. Not as good enough for me to watch the rest of it. Don't know what happened. It was in the days before everything was on everywhere, so you had to watch it. Other than that, I forgot to watch it. You were good on it, though. But in Lewis, that's like Inspector Morse, right? But then Inspector Morse died, and they thought, oh, it's a shame. Then they thought, can we just carry on with a different...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
From bloke being Inspector Moore, why don't we bump up the bloke who was his sidekick? Am I getting this right? Just let me know.
Yeah, that's
so the bloke is like, let's make it about him. Mm. Are you hoping that Kevin Whateley will die so that then... You will get bumped up.
No, because I'm not the sidekick. I'm the boss, you see, as you would know if you'd ever watched
it. Oh, well, it's Billy Piper's husband is the...
Indeed, it was Lawrence.
Yeah.
But when the first episode we did a sort of pilot episode of that. And they used to, if you ever saw Morse, which you would have done.
I did, yeah, it's great.
And it was a training video.
Amazing,
really,
but I thought, you know, I wouldn't watch this if he was dead.
No.
Well, that's not an idiot. It's called Morse, it's about him.
But on Morse, they obviously, like they do in police dramas, they had a boss, they had a...
It's like if in Little and Large, Large had died, you wouldn't go, oh, I'll carry on watching Little and Little
did.
And someone else just come in Little and someone worse than Little will come in. You'd start watching it, that's what I'm saying. Sorry, carry on.
It's a different show. Anyway, the point I'm making is, the first episode we did, I'd been cast as the boss, and in Morse, in the original thing, they'd had an actor called, I think it was an actor called James Grout, who played the boss, who's a really fantastic actor. And we went to we had a press screening for this first sort of pilot episode of Lewis, and one of the press people went out in front of an audience of journalists, like, you know, all the Guardian and the Times and everybody, and said, well, we're so excited about this new series, you know, lots of people really loved Morse and they love the character of Lewis and they're going to be so excited to see this new series, and a lot of people are going to be looking forward to seeing James Grout coming back. Sadly, James hasn't been very well, so I'm really sorry to tell you. Introduced. I'm really sorry to tell you, we've got Rebecca Front. And I was sitting there just thinking, oh, thanks very much. Everybody's really whipped up, ready for this. Yay, we've got Kevin Whateley, we've got Lawrence. And I'm really sorry about this, but the only bit of shit that we could get was Rebecca Front.
On the bright side, we don't think she has any major health problems, so we'll probably be able to do it. But if James Rat gets better, she'll be out. Don't worry, we'll be out. She'll be
out. I've left in no doubt.
Good. So Grandma's House, is that done and dusted, or is there going to be more of those?
I think it's done and dusted, which is a shame, really, because I was really enjoying that.
It was good fun.
It was good fun. That we didn't. None of us really enjoyed doing the first series.
Really?
It was stressful. And then we did really enjoy doing the second one. So ever since then, we've been nagging Simon and Dan Schweimer to write some more, but I don't think they want to.
Has he been off in America? And...
Simon's off touring and doing a lot of stand-up, and Dan's busy writing other things, but... it's a shame because I loved doing it and I made some really good friends doing it. Me and Sam Spiro, who played my sister, two sisters who hate each other and became really, really good friends. So it would have been nice to do some more, but there you go. Oh.
I could write a thing where you're my mum and you could do it.
You think anyone's going to buy that?
If I'm Benjamin Button, I'm Benjamin Button.
Yeah. I did actually think he looked like you on the cover of that magazine.
Did you? Yeah,
Brad Pitt. Yeah,
I do look like Brad Pitt. That's why these people, a lot of these people come thinking it's Brad Pitt. You've worked with pretty much everyone. Have you worked with Brad Pitt?
I haven't worked with Brad Pitt.
Because like sometimes I was watching Wolf of Wall Street, which I mentioned last week or 2 weeks ago, which is a terrible film. But halfway through, Joanna Lumley's in it. It's kind of fun when you see that.
Yeah, she is.
When
that's
you right. see, and she kind of, and Leonardo DiCaprio tries to get off with her.
Yeah, that's right.
Kind of, and that's kind of quite good fun when you think that. Is there anything like that? Have you been in those kind of?
I haven't done any sort of big movie things. No, although you know, I'd be up
still
for
time.
It. I'd be up for it. Obviously, if it came up. But no, I've just done. I'm doing some more dramas as well as comedy at the moment.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of nudging a little bit in that direction. But no, basically, I'm still doing the kind of crap you write.
I wish I could get you in. I wish I could write something that would get on. Well, because you were in the radio, so my wife pointed me towards. Because my research was so bad, I didn't see this. You were in the Radio Times talking about older actors and actresses.
Oh, God. Was it in the magazine?
Yeah, I think. Well, it was on the website.
It was
website.
On the website, yeah. Yes, that was one of those... Yes. I was doing an interview about the book.
Yeah.
And so I just was chatting. And then, yes, you have to be slightly careful what you say, because things get out on websites. I mean, it wasn't there wasn't an audience, so I suppose I was kind of happy to say it in public. But of course, also, it's always slightly different. It's slightly truncated when you see it written down. It's not quite... Because what I'd said in this interview was I was talking about there being fewer... You know, it's the thing that you hear actors saying all the time, or actresses saying all the time, that as you get older, there are fewer parts and so on. And touch wood, I mean, I'm getting quite a lot of parts, yeah. So I wasn't moaning about that. But what I was saying was that I'd been sent quite a few scripts where the character that I'm supposed to go up for, or I'm being offered, is meant to be, according to the script, is meant to be 60 or 65, and I'm not 60 or 65. I'm very considerably younger than that. And the point I was making was they shouldn't, you know, if they're offering parts of 60 and 65-year-olds to women who are in their late 40s or early 50s, then what are the actresses who are 60 or 65 going to get? And it has a knock-on effect.
Yeah.
And I think the way it was reported was sort of, I now get cast as 65-year-olds, which I like to think I don't. But I don't think that's why. I don't think it's because the casting director looking at me and thinking, well, you're clearly 65. I think it's just that thing of they think, well, we don't want to have a 65-year-old, so we'll get someone like her in. I think that was what the point I was trying to make.
It's an odd thing about... I mean, it's a very difficult profession being an actor. I mean, obviously, you're doing writing as well, so you've got that's... If it does all go
it all
wrong...
It goes belly up.
But it is... You know, I think we were talking to Sarah about female comedians being judged in certain ways, but then there is this kind of... I think TV increasingly is about youth, isn't it? Old Tricks now. We were talking about this the other week. Nicholas Lyndhurst is now old enough to be in Old Tricks, which... That's not right. That's like they've gone... Old Tricks,
really
it's like all old people. Mm. Can't we get some younger people in this to be... It's too old. That's the point. It's meant to be a group of old people. Then they've got like a 50-year-old man in there.
Well, and there's a sort of... the added weirdness that actually the majority of people watching a lot of television, not just that kind of show, but a lot of television, are older, in fact.
Yeah.
So there's no reflection of that at all. It is weird. I mean, I think we have an odd relationship. I think we, as a population, or we as human beings, have an odd relationship to ageing. And I do. I mean, I related to a lot of what you were saying earlier about mortality and that fear. I completely got what you were saying about that fear of not being attractive anymore. Even when you know, I'm very happily married, I have absolutely no desire to go off with anybody else, but I would like to think that I've still got it going on. And unfortunately, you start to get quite paranoid about it. As you get a bit older, you kind of think, well, nobody could possibly find me attractive. And then you sort of think, well, actually, that's really unfair. It's just not nice, and I don't want to think about that.
I don't want to think about it either, because I don't like... thinking about you as a sexual being.
Because I'm your older sister.
If anyone finds you attractive while I'm around, I'm going to bat them off, but that sounds better than it is. I'm not going to bat them off. Talking of people finding you sexually attractive, you should go on Brit Comedy Confessions.
Well, I'm going
I think it would cheer you up a great deal. There are a lot. I'm not even going to read all of them, and they're nice. A lot of them are like...
Can we give 30 seconds for my son to leave the room?
Well, a lot of them, I think, if your son can think of it as the character rather than his own mother, that these awful things are happening to. But I would remind your son, that the reason he's here is because of the disgusting things his mother once did. So.
No, we've already established it was a virgin.
That's right, yeah, sorry, yeah. Yeah. Yes, I'm completely straight, and yes, she's old enough to be my mother. This is written by a very, very young person. But me and my friend have had many a conversation on what phone sex would be like with Rebecca Front.
It's the voice, you see, it's the
gorgeous
low voice.
Voice of hers.
That low voice again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're enough to turn, I'm guessing, a...
You know why phone sex? You know why? Because then they don't have to look at me. No.
All right, that wasn't a good place to start. She's old enough to be my mother and is a very unattractive. Now I realise. How about this? Your son should definitely shut his... although, thinking about it, your son has fulfilled this one. Oh, what I wouldn't give to be between Rebecca Front's fabulous legs.
Is that all? That's all that is.
But that's quite nice. That's sort of.
Do you know, I actually had... No, trust me, it's not that bad. Somebody tweeted me something, or copied me in on a tweet a couple of years ago, which said something like... I have this fantasy. It was obviously a brief version of this, but I can't do it in 134 characters or whatever. I have this fantasy about a threesome with Rebecca Front. And I thought, oh, hello, what's this? And it's a threesome with Rebecca Front and Scarlett Johansson. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. And the threesome involved him, this person, whoever he was, having sex with Scarlett Johansson and then talking to me about it. Probably with a bag over my head, I don't know, but it was very much, you know, because she's nice and you can have a chat with her, you know, but I'll do all the other stuff.
Just waiting for it to, you know.
I'd just be sitting there knitting.
Oh, I'm ready to go again now. Sorry, excuse me, Rebecca. I've just had sex with Scarlett Johansson.
Great. Pretty tell amazing. Me about it. I'll put the kettle on. You tell me all about it. We'll have a lovely old chat.
Rebecca running up the women, prissy, uptight, and wearing a corset. Just fark.
Have you seen me in Up the Women?
I have.
Now, Up the Women is a part where I'm actually meant to be about 65. I've got a steel grey wig, and they deliberately heighten the colour on my cheeks so it looks like I'm about to have a seizure or something. I'm not attractive in the least in Up the Women.
Sounds like you're just about to come into your golden era of sex.
That's
with
really
perverts on
seriously
the internet.
Weird.
Okay, this one again is about a character. On my hands and knees. This one's weird because it doesn't sound like fancy. It sounds like something that has happened. That's what I want to find out. On my hands and knees, silk around my wrists, tying me to the bed frame, Malcolm Tucker's hands knotted in my hair as I suck his cock.
Is this you?
No. Doctor Who, maybe, but not Malcolm Tucker. Nicola Murray. He's got two cocks, you know. It's hearts, isn't it? Nicola... Might have to diphylactic. Nicola Murray fucking me from behind with a strap on. I've never come so hard in my life. Which to me sounds like that is something that... It's not like
it
I would never come
happen.
So hard. I never came so hard in my life as when that happened. So you and Malcolm Tucker, you in character and Peter Capaldi in character, had sex with someone. I'm guessing... it could be a man, it could be a woman. I'm guessing it's a woman, but... Could be a man. Did that happen?
It didn't happen. I think. I would have remembered. No, I don't.
All right,
think
and what, we'll do one more because
I'm quite interested in the silk scarf.
Yeah, well, it's
that
nice detail.
Quite nice. That's the only bit that sounds quite fetching, you know.
Well, you could wear that later, couldn't you?
Yeah, it'd be lovely. Yeah. While I'm chatting about this bloke having sex with Scarlett Johansson, I could be dapperly dressed with a silk scarf on.
I think that guy would fiddle with you a bit while he was talking.
Very definitely did not get that feeling.
I think just like, I've got to go back to Scarlett Johansson. It's fair enough. I mean,
Scarlett's over there. Forgive me, love.
It's fair enough. Rebecca Front dominating me with endless, rough, noisy fucking. This is you on your own. This is my deed. This is why I like this one. And Sue Perkins watching silently in the corner.
One good thing about that is that now Sue has been relegated.
But she doesn't even get to discuss it. It's like, you're just going to stay there silently in the corner.
Thinking up jokes for Bake Off.
Even not getting aroused by it, just not. But just watching.
Who are these people?
Well, see, well, hopefully Sue is going to be on the show in a couple of weeks. So
we'll ask
whether she's up for that. Are you up? I mean, in theory, depending on who the person you are, endlessly rough, noisily fucking, would you be up for that?
I haven't got the energy for that. No, I mean, do these people not? You know, you get tired after. Yeah. Forget it.
It's a hard work being an actor.
Watch the telly. It's fair so enough. Much nicer.
All right. Well. I'll ask you another an emergency question to...
Please do.
Because it's... I mean... You know, I didn't enjoy asking those questions to Rebecca Front. I want you to know that. I enjoyed asking Sarah Millican
about... How much did you enjoy asking Sarah Millican?
A lot. I really enjoyed it,
Did you really enjoy
asking? Because she was, like, the first person I've done it to who was genuinely slightly uncomfortable about it. And that is my sexual fantasy. If you go to Brit Comedy Confessions, all mine are, I would like to tell lots of comedians what other people's sexual fantasies are, whilst I watch their reaction.
Silently
moving around. If you could choose between having a hand made out of ham...
Hand made out of what?
You didn't like my penis question, so I'm going to go more sophisticated... A hand made out of ham.
You just ask me that because I'm Jewish.
No, I ask everyone, even if they are Jewish.
Okay.
That is how unprejudiced I am.
made out of ham.
A hand made out of ham, or an armpit that dispenses sun cream.
An armpit that what? That has expensive sun cream?
What programs are you... What interviews are you doing with people that this is an unusual interview? Think, oh, I've come here with my BAFTA awards... I'm not answering your question about ham hands. It's an armpit. It's got like a little nozzle in it. You go like that and some sun cream comes out.
Dispenses sun cream. That's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, or a hand made out of ham.
No, I don't want that. No, because I'm vegetarian. I don't want that.
You don't have to eat it.
Sun cream.
It's just a talking point.
Well, I find the BAFTA as a talking point.
I have got a bronze Sony Award. So.
Have you? I haven't got one of those. I have got a comedy award now as well, which I'm pleased about. Because it's about fucking time. No, I want the sun cream thing.
Yeah.
Mm, that's very practical. That's actually a very sensible idea. If you patent that, you will have no more money worries ever.
Okay, I'll probably, I will do
that. That could work.
Thank you. See, I knew we'd
How
get...
How do you actually... Do you have to kind of
just
do that?
That, yeah. So it's...
Yeah, that's not quite so good.
You have to do that and then put your hand underneath to get... So it looks like you're trying
noise.
To do that thing. But yeah. then you just
but then
some
sun cream
comes
out. Do you do it with things like hair gel and stuff as well?
I don't think we can do that. I think that would be a blasphemy against the... People have asked for different liquids inside their armpit gland, but if you start allowing that, that's where madness lies if we keep going down that level. If you could choose between... I can't remember what the choices are now of these two. Between having a tit that dispensed talcum powder... That's right, isn't it? Or I have to turn to my audience now. I've asked so many of these questions. Or a finger that could travel through time, but just your finger can travel through time. It's important. I mean, I can't believe you just don't have answers ready for these.
I do.
Like people think
Richard.
About these. So
I
it's like
thinking.
Enough talcum powder to an endless supply of talcum powder. The sun cream is limited to your usage in a year, but the talcum powder you could actually just keep. If you were prepared to keep puffing away, you could just sell talcum powder.
Terms or, and conditions apply.
Yeah. Or a finger that can travel through time and you can touch things in the past or the future.
Surely nobody picks the talcum powder tip.
No, of course they don't.
Why would anybody? Everybody wants the time-travelling finger.
Yeah.
Well, then why are you asking the question?
Because I just one day I'll meet the person who wants the talcum powder. And
if you ever meet that person, will you please text me and tell
me? Okay, I will do. Someone might
have chosen
that. Where would your finger go if you could put it, send it anywhere in time?
It would go back to Georgian times.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like the 1820s?
Yeah, that's exactly where. 1824.
Is that because it was before the police force had been established and you could get away with some crimes? The Bow Street Runners were there, but the Robert Peels, the Peelers... Actually, the was he there? Now I've got confused. 1840 was when Robert Peel established. Was that the Bow Street Runners he established? My audience have got a lot more stupid. I've noticed this. In the early days, I could ask any question and four people go, yes, Richard, that is right. Now I ask a question. And I ask a question on tour about, you know, Samuel Pepys, the diarist, because I do a thing about kissing people through kisses. I was kissed by my 90-year-old great-auntie on the lips when I was 5 years old. It was my first kiss on the lips.
Explains everything.
So I want to kiss a 5-year-old relation of mine when I'm 90. So that's why I don't want to die, so that I can kiss a 5-year-old on the lips then. And then it's important they're at least 5, so they remember it. That's the reason. I'll have straddled. It sounds perverted in the middle of this.
Straddled,
it's a very sweet routine.
What?
I'll span 200 years with two kisses, like three different centuries. But Samuel Pepys, the novelist, the diarist rather, he kissed Catherine of Valois on the lips 4 centuries after she died, because she was there. And this is the thing that I've asked two audiences on tour this, because I haven't been bothered to Google it. Whose wife was Catherine of? Who was the husband of Catherine of Valois? What's gone wrong with you people? I tell you, the old days, the old audiences were much better. Someone would just straight in. It was like Wikipedia. I would just ask a question. I think it's like Henry II or someone. There we go, Henry V. So you knew, or have you... And you're just holding it back. So you all still know the answers. We go, no, Rich, we're not giving you free facts. You struggle on your own. Henry V's wife was in Westminster Abbey. Samuel Pepys went to visit, and they had just the corpse. They had the bodies lying just in the abbey, and Samuel Pepys kissed Catherine of Valois on the lips.
He kissed a corpse on the lips?
Yeah, because then he could say, I've kissed a queen. It was like a massive pervert. It's amazing that, you know, if the Operation U-Tree had been around there, we wouldn't even know Samuel Pepys, because he wouldn't be... You're not allowed to... If you've done something perverted and you get caught, you're not... Your work gets struck off now, and that's it. It's like
Top of the Pops anymore, yeah.
You can't show those Top of the Pops anymore. They allow Michael Jackson ones still on. That's the irony, but...
They were on an endless loop. I mean, I can't help thinking maybe it's a kind of editing process now that they're just finding a way of filtering them down. Right, we're not showing that one, we're not showing that one. Yeah, yeah, you're right, there's nobody left that you can show.
Well, there's two Lee and Herring Top of the Pops that are showable for the short term. I presented Top of the Pops, so I can't, you know.
You presented Top of the Pops, did you?
Yeah, twice. Why would I never get... I don't know. Robson and Jerome
really?
Were number one on one of them. That's,
did you still stand there doing that classic Top of the Pops presenter thing, looking a bit gormless?
Feeling up 50 strong girls. No, I didn't.
Well, we know
it's
that
a
now.
good try of trying to catch me. No, I did not. I tell you what, it was so horrible, the atmosphere in the thing. Like loads of 15-year-old girls, all a bit overexcited about seeing Robson and Jerome, really smelling quite horrible, like unsweaty. Just like, that's the most perverted thing about those DJs, is that they were in the middle of that going, "Wee!" Not going, oh, God, when can I go home and get away from these disgusting children? Which is what I was thinking. But there we go. So you're safe with me. If you want to have me back on Top of the Pops, or just anything on. Is there anything I can do on... Can I be on Lewis? I could come on Lewis.
You
could come on Lewis,
I could be Lewis,
a
yeah.
dead body or something. I'd just be murdered. Just like, look, I'll show you...
Very good. You could be a dead postman.
Yeah. Dead old postman. Let's go Georgian times. That's good. And what would you do with your finger in Georgian times?
I don't know. What would I do with my finger in Georgian
times? No, sorry, I'll let you off.
I have no idea at all. I'd probably eat some posset.
What would it take for you to fillet the actor Keith Allen?
For me to...
Fillet the actor Keith Allen. What would you... Have you ever worked with Keith Allen?
I have worked with Keith Allen. I've not filleted him.
No, sorry. You don't have to answer that question.
I'm
not sure anyone has. Because he often gets his penis out.
Does he?
The genesis of this question was Matthew Crosby telling me that he'd been in a bar once and Keith Allen had entered the bar, and as he entered he said, "Who wants to suck my cock?" And everyone just went...
No. I'm good, thanks. Yeah. I just had a bath.
Yeah, fine. So what would it take? What would you need to have in return? What threats would you, Keith Allen, have to have?
It would have to be a fairly life or death situation, I have to say, yes. I mean, not just with Keith Allen, but just generally speaking. Okay. A complete stranger comes up to you in a bar. Yeah. It would have to be pretty dire, I think.
Okay. Good. That's a good mother's answer to that question.
Exactly, with her son.
That was very nice. Cool. Well, I'm sure there was something very important.
Something else I need to know.
That I need to talk about. Oh, no, I've done that. Done that. No, that's it. Everything is... I wanted to talk about... What were you going
to
say?
No, I was just going to say to you, because I suddenly remembered sitting out there before listening to you talking about your forthcoming child.
I was
going to
ask you about this. Yes, go on.
And do you remember what I bought you for your 40th birthday? You won't remember.
I don't. All I remember about my 40th birthday is crying and having to go home a bit overexcited.
Well, because you and Emma Kennedy,
yes,
shared a 40th birthday.
We did.
And I bought, because I was struggling to think, what can I get you both for your birthday? Because, you know, what do you get people when they're 40? And I bought you both a Tamagotchi. And you both killed them very quickly. And I was just thinking about it earlier when you were talking about killing plants off and things like that. And I thought, if you can't even keep
I really tried as well. I'd never had one before, and I really tried to keep it going, and it did die. Isabel Fay, who's a great comedian, calls her child, she's just had a baby, and she calls it a high risk Tamagotchi, which is.
I remember getting a text message from Emma Kennedy about 3 months after her birthday, at which point I'd kind of forgotten I'd bought you the Tamagotchis, just saying, I hate your guts. I said, why? And then she texted me back and she said, because it's finally died. And I've been trying, 3 months she'd been trying to keep this thing alive.
Well, both of us are quite obsessive about stuff like that, so it was kind of a good kind of torture prize to give us both.
Innocent kind of present.
Yeah, lost much. But yeah, I had two 40th birthday parties.
Oh, was I at the B list?
You were at the big one, but then I had a smaller one on my
actual
birthday.
For proper friends, for people you actually like.
Yeah. Yeah. For people I'm not intimidated and afraid of and have too much respect for, despite everything I've said in this. Because we had this joint one, and I really got to me turning 40, and actually for a little bit afterwards, but then I was fine about it, and I... Apart from the degeneration, I'm very happy about being in my 40s. I was really... I think, like, my ex-girlfriend, or the girlfriend I'd just broken up with, turned up at that party with a very, very good-looking guy. And also, there were just loads of... It was a bit of, like, you know, it was the... Have you seen the terrible film with that guy who's now won an Oscar, Matthew McConaughey? Girlfriends of Christmas Past or something it's called, isn't it? Have you seen this? He's done a lot of terrible films. He's sort of like this, until he won an Oscar or got nominated for an Oscar, he was the sliding doors of actors, basically. That was every film. If you saw him in a film, it was guaranteed to be terrible. But it's about, it was just like all my ex-girlfriends were at that party, because I stayed very good friends with my ex-girlfriends, but then it was just like being haunted by the failure of my romantic dreams. I got very drunk. And then I got a taxi. Two of my friends kindly took me home in a taxi because they realised how I was an emotional wreck. And then I tried to persuade them to have a threesome with me. So it was a great night. They said no, but in a nice way.
See, I went home about 9:30.
Did you? Yeah, you were lucky, because God knows what I'd have said to you if you'd been around. Once again, you give me a Tamagotchi, I never knew anyone could care this much about me.
I'm going to have a threesome now, and you can sit in the corner and talk to me about it afterwards.
So that was that. But then I had another 40th birthday on my birthday. Well, I just went to the British Museum with Ben Moore, and then I had some lunch with some friends, and I went to see a Die Hard 4.0, which wasn't very good. Then we had a curry. That was nice.
Well, thank you for sharing.
And I was exactly for. I went to see the Piltdown. Is it the Piltdown Man? I'm really tired today. I should have taken the night off, really, but I thought it'd be rude for all of you people. Is the Piltdown Man the one in the bog?
Yeah,
Pete Marsh.
Is that Piltdown?
Yeah, because I thought I'd go and see someone more fucked up and leathery and old than me. That was what I did in the morning, and that was quite good. Now I'm 47. I'd give anything to be 40 now. It's weird, isn't it, the way it works? There we go.
Funny old game.
It is a terrible...
But now you look like Brad Pitt, and you didn't look like Brad Pitt then.
No, that's true.
But then he's actually slightly older than
you. Yeah. But now I'm married to someone else, so it's no good looking like Brad Pitt now.
Except she's nice looking.
She is nice.
You've done well.
I have done quite well. And I got her pregnant, so... I don't know. Who's gorgeous? My wife, she's lovely. Yeah, leave her alone. Get out. And let's have a look at you first, and then... would you be up for having a threesome with a woman who's 4.5 months pregnant? And discuss it. I'll just... You can do it, and I'll just... You can turn to me and go, oh, that's nice. No, okay. We won't do that. Do you have any advice for me? You have brought up two children, one of whom I've just seen, and mm-hmm. she seems to be unbroken and alive.
Yes. Are you still there? Yes, I think
I might have broken him tonight.
Yeah.
At least mentally. Is there any advice you have for me? Because Sarah Millican's never had a child, so she could give me no advice.
Not funny advice, but no. I can give you some straight advice.
Okay.
Proper advice, which is listen. Or explain and listen. They're my two watchwords. Mm. Explain everything and listen. Because when you hear, you know, like kids going nuts in supermarkets and all that kind of stuff, you know, tantrums, and it's not entirely because of this. Sometimes it's just that they have tantrums. But it is usually because they're not being listened to, I think. So if you explain what you're doing and if you listen to what their problem is, it works. That is my advice to you. It properly, properly works.
Sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, but you've got to do that.
Let them have a tantrum.
Yeah, you can a bit. But
what I thought I'd do is say, you know, this is my house, you have to do what I say.
Yeah, you can try that. That's certainly an option.
I didn't ask for you to be born, I'm going to say that.
You've ruined my life. Yeah. You can try that one as well. And my career. I used to have a career. You can try that.
It gives me a get out clause. That's what I think. It's fine. I'm going to concentrate. I'm going to pretend I'm like a good father. Go, I can't do any of the comedy stuff anymore because I've got to look after my baby.
I do that all the time. I can't now because I'm 16 and 13. You know, they look after themselves. But because you want to.
Yeah.
You actually, this is my way of making up for all those awful sexual things that were going on before. But you want to. You want to be at home with them because they're lovely and they're fun and they're nice and they're good fun and I like them. But then yours might not be as nice as mine.
No. You're welcome to come and babysit as much as you like.
No, I've got two teenage kids who could babysit for you.
Yeah, I'm not letting that one
but
babysit.
But there is that. The younger one's fine. Okay, she's a girl and she's sort of... mine are exceptionally wonderful children, and obviously most people don't have children quite as exceptionally wonderful as mine. I'm really sorry about that, but that is the case.
That's good parenting. I think it's very, what a lucky children they are to have.
They are lucky children,
they are.
Aren't they, Rich?
They
would
are.
Say,
I would say
they are really lucky children.
I hope he thanks you for everything you've done.
Not that often, actually, no, but he's very sweet.
I remember he was really little, and then now he's all... How did that happen?
I know, it's weird. Now he's a giant. He's 6'1".
13 years ago, he was like 2 years old.
He used to come into rehearsals for Time Gentleman Please, didn't he?
Do you remember Time Gentleman Please? No.
He remembers everything.
it's been really lovely to talk to you. I now have to go to bed. So, with my wife and that woman...
Do you want me to come along and talk about it afterwards?
I think everyone would like to have a word with you afterwards about what's happened in your capacity as the police chief.
With my low voice.
Yeah. It'd be very nice. Give a massive round of applause to my fantastic guest, Rebecca Front, from Off of Everything in the World. Thank you very much. You have been listening to Richard Herring's That's a Square Theatre podcast with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Rebecca Front. The music you're listening to is by Pest. Thanks to Orange Mark at the British Comedy Guide and all of his little chums who helped him work that out. Thanks to everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre. Thanks to Chris Evans and everyone at GoFasterStrike.com. There's millions of them. Thanks to my producer, Ben Walker. I could not do this if he didn't show up. There's no way it could be what he's not doing it next week. Yeah, probably be all right. And thank you. I'm in it as well, Richard Herring. I did most of it. And this is a GoFasterStrike.com Fuzz and Sky Potato production. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, why not pay me back by going to GoFasterStrike.com/badges and buying a badge, or come and see me on tour. Head to RichardHerring.com/LOTDS/tour, or just TheRichardHerring.com/gigs, and you can see if I'm coming to a town near you in 2015. I'm in London in the first week of December at the Leicester Square Theatre. Please come. It's a big theatre. Thank you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods
for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.